Oxnard, Oxnard, California, Republican.
Good morning, and thank you for C-SPAN. Just a quick question, actually two parts for Mr. Nader. One, it seems like your biggest beef is the fact that Republicans and Democrats really aren't any different. You know, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, there was a distinct difference in the party. And today what we seem to be reduced to is something even, you know, as much as I respect you, you fell victim to yourself, and that's the ad hominem attack on Bush's intellect, for example. Isn't American politics being reduced to media sound bites and ad hominem attacks? And, you know, I just hope that you'll refrain from that, because I think you are a refreshing bit of light in this really middle centrist oriented party system. Thank you.
Well, I define an ad hominem attack as an inaccurate and irrelevant characterization of a political figure. I don't think commenting on George W. Bush's intellect is either inaccurate or irrelevant. He has admitted he doesn't read very much. He almost entirely communicates to the American people on cue cards and teleprompters. Think of Jefferson, think of Madison, think of Woodrow Wilson, think of FDR. Think even of Nixon, who was off, you know, could extemporaneously talk very cogently. And I think there's a real problem when a president is elected who is basically a tool of big business. I described George W. Bush in the campaign of 2000 as a giant corporation running for the presidency disguised as a human being. And I think I can provide solid evidence of that in the last 3 years. To call himself a compassionate conservative and not to have a policy dealing with malnutrition and hunger in America. City Harvest has just stated in New York City that the need for food has skyrocketed in the last year in New York City, and that one out of every five New York City residents is unsure of his or her next meal, and that includes children. There's a huge amount of poverty in this country, far more as a percent of our population than other Western democracies, who have higher minimum wages, who have universal health care, who have retirement benefits, who have daycare, who provide a safety net for their people. Our country's wealthy enough to do that, but not if the top 1% of the richest people has a financial wealth equivalent to the bottom 95%, as Jeff Gates has pointed out in his brilliant book on democracy at risk.